Big matchup this week in the trenches, right? Jaguars offensive line against Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. I don't know if there's a better bookend tandem of defensive end pass rush types in the NFL. I mean, there's a few that could probably compare to that, but they went out and got Mack this year. And it's a tackle group here in Jacksonville that paid Cam Robinson on the left side, and they've got Jawan Taylor on the right side, who earned the job in training camp. It's a contract year for him. This would be a good step in the right direction for a new contract for Jawan Taylor if they can come out clean in this game this week.
Well, to me, this is probably the biggest matchup in the game as far as Jacksonville is concerned, because it's real. You know, those two guys are as good as it gets. And when they're both on, they create havoc. They not only, you know, they're great pass rushers. I mean, that goes without saying. But they're probably, I mean, they're up there. They're just as good, if not better, in the run game. I mean, the way both of those players set the edge, it makes it really tough. You know, last year the Chargers were the worst team in football defending the run. Bosa has been as versatile as a defensive end as you can get, and then Mack too as well. You know, the thing with Mack is he hasn't been 100% healthy since, you know, in the last few years. And so if he's able to stay healthy, he can get back to that original form. But to me, that's the challenge. For Jacksonville not to be a one-dimensional offense in this game, because it's going to be very difficult to get outside. It's going to be very difficult to block those edges. And then that in turn, if Jacksonville can't run and they can't at least keep some of the balance and they go one-dimensional, well, that's when life can get really, really tough. So that to me is going to be key. They've got to be able to run the football effectively. Now, they're probably not going to run for 150 yards, but they've got to be productive on first and second down, and they've got to put them in some manageable situations, because this game cannot get one dimensional. Otherwise, it will be a long day for both of those tackles.
Adam Archuleta with us, CBS Sports. Well, this Jaguars offense has Trevor Lawrence, of course, year two, but the number one priority was getting those weapons around him. Zay Jones in free agency. Marvin Jones, now a veteran player at wide receiver. Evan Ingram at tight end, but a lot of money to Christian Kirk. And it's proving to be the right decision to pay a guy like that. And some of those other guys are making plays too. I mean, this is an offense that's kind of spreading it out, at least so far through 2 weeks. But with a guy like Christian Kirk, he can be a matchup problem. He can line up a lot of different places, and that gives Lawrence some options.
Well, when you look at Jacksonville, they've been looking for a reliable, not just a reliable, but a reliable playmaker for how many years now? It's been kind of a long time before, since they've had that guy. You know, Chark, well, you know, showed some flashes here and there, but just somebody that they can actually build an offense around that can have trust in, that a quarterback can have trust in. The thing that jumps out to me when I watch Christian Kirk, you know, not even having met him, is you can see that he's got a high football IQ, and you can see that he really has a good understanding for football. I think that helps because he played outside for this first few seasons in Arizona. He really started to blossom as a dangerous down the field threat once they moved him inside to the slot, and he established a wonderful connection with Kyler Murray. So I see right now a quarterback in Trevor Lawrence that has a receiver that he can trust. And it seems like all the good ones have a guy that he knows that, hey, if I can find him, he's going to reward me. Not only is he going to be there and be reliable, but there's a good chance we're going to make a big play around. So you can see how they use him with motion. They move him around. They get matchups. I was just watching a play that happened in the Washington, or not the Washington, I'm sorry, the Commanders game. That I just sent to my producer that said, hey, this is such a cool play where they motion Kirk, and right when he's in the backfield, they snap it, and that kind of freed up ETN, and they popped him down the middle for a big play. And that was all set up because of the motion by Kirk. So they're doing a really good job scheming around their players, and they do have a guy that can create some plays down the field and be there for their quarterback. So what turned out to be a great pickup so far.
Adam, take us through this Chargers secondary. They got J.C. Jackson, who's on the injury list this week at one of the corners, but Derwin James is back there at safety. You're a safety. Where does this guy rate in the NFL landscape? Obviously pretty high if he's getting paid like he is.
Well, absolutely. And as a guy that played safety, who was more of a specialist, more of a linebacker in the box specialist, I can really appreciate the difficulty of how hard it is to be as well-rounded as Derwin James. And there's a little bit of professional jealousy there when I watch him play, because he really can do it all, because he's got tremendous size. The first thing that stands out is how much ground he can eat up, whether he's, you know, in the post, whether he's deep, or even when he reads run and he comes up and he's able to close the distance so quickly. The fact that he can line up in a slot and guard receivers on first and second down, he could blitz as good as anybody in the NFL. He is a force coming up in the run and the range to play free safety. He's as versatile and as good as it gets. And because he's so versatile, it gives their defense a lot of flexibility to disguise on early downs and late downs. The quarterback really never has a good idea of what they're doing because of where James lines up. So he truly is an all-around impact player.
All right, Adam, final thought with you. And, you know, if the Jaguars win this game, it kind of sends a message to the league. This is a Chargers team that was picked to go a long way by a lot of people. And if they go out to SoFi Stadium and get it done, I think that would be an early salvo to the rest of the AFC South, certainly the AFC, that the Jaguars might have a little something extra this year. But for Doug Peterson, don't tell him that. I mean, this is a week-to-week league. It's so what about last week's win? Now what? And now what's the Chargers? That's a challenge. It's the third youngest team in the league to keep this group level and steady.
It is. It's a balance, because you want your players to be enthusiastic about winning. And so you don't want to downplay being able to beat your division rival, who's supposed to be a very good team in the Colts. And so I do think you have to relish winning. You have to enjoy winning. But also, that's the key to coaching. It's the key to life, is how to be 100% present in the moment and not live in your past success or failures, and certainly not look forward to the future. So it is a tremendous opportunity to go all the way, you know, across the country. The Jaguars, they've lost, what, 18, 19 road games, something like that, straight, I think.
Yes. It's not good.
And, you know, look, that's a challenge in and of itself, to go all the way across the country and play on the road after a win. You know, there's so many things that you're trying to build in your football team. You build some resiliency and build some grit and build some toughness. So it's a challenge for many, many reasons. Yeah, you know, if they're able to pull it off and win, I understand your point in saying, hey, that's, you know, showing the league. But I got to be honest with you, nobody in the league cares, because nobody cares that Jacksonville beat the Colts. They don't care if they lost to the Colts. They won't care if they beat the Chargers, because every week it's a new opponent and it's another opportunity to get better and learn something about your team. And if you take it, you know, anything more than that, then I think you're doing a disservice, and you can't play at the highest level possible. So, hey, it's a great week three challenge for Doug Peterson to build off of what they did last week against the Colts.
You sound like a coach yourself, Adam.
Well, I coach, I dabble in coaching. Actually, I think I'm a coach at heart. That's probably where I should have been rather than being in television. Not that I don't love my job, but, you know, I get to whet that appetite with my kids and coaching their U teams. And, you know, it's all about, to me, it's all about the mental game and teaching young people and teaching athletes the mental side of it, and how to approach, you know, becoming great, how to approach dealing with success, and more importantly, how to deal with and use failure as a springboard to improve. So I love it. And I don't know, who knows, maybe someday I'll see myself on the sideline.
That would be something to see for sure. It's always great to visit with you. Thanks for the time, Adam. Have a great call.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.